You're listening to SBS News.
It was the largest single attack ever mounted by a foreign country on Australian soil. And a reenactment has been performed by military on the Darwin Esplanade to commemorate 80 years since Japan launched surprise air raids on the top end capital.
East Indies, Australia and New Zealand. Singapore falls. The obstruction gone, the Nipponese tide sweeps on with breathtaking speed. A huge Pacific area.
The memory of this tragic event seared into the minds of what few survivors remain. Brian Winspear was a Royal Australian Air Force pilot and says it was a day he will never forget. Now aged 101, he recalls bombs raining down from the sky like confetti.
They didn't fly straight into Darwin. They went a back way right around the circle and came in from the south. And so nobody worried about them because they were sure they were American, you know, bombers. I can still see the pilot's face. I can still see the sun glinting off the bombs coming straight down, looking straight up, and directly up there. All the bombs are aiming at me.
This time, their own women and children are at stake. The position is tense, and the Prime Minister minces no words.
Gentlemen, the truth is that if we do not strip ourselves to save our country, the enemy will do it for us, with ruthless efficiency, imposing upon us a maximum of misery.
February 19th, 1942 started like any other day, but the day quickly took a turn just after 10 a.m. as the first bombs destroyed ships in Darwin's harbour. Australia's political leaders have joined survivors and descendants to remember those who lost their lives, laying wreaths at Darwin's cenotaph to pay their respects. The mood was sombre when Prime Minister Scott Morrison addressed the crowd.
The onslaught was met with many acts of bravery, courage, and compassion. Anti-aircraft gunners giving their all. Pilots entering the fray despite the forces of numbers against them. The Peary with its guns blazing until the very end, and the civilians commandeering small boats in fiery waters looking for survivors.
Opposition leader Anthony Albanese also took the time to remember the tragedy.
By the time the sirens sounded, the bombs were already falling. That is how the war arrived on our shores 80 years ago.
188 Japanese aircraft carried out the first attack, killing about 235 people and wounding more than 400. The attack also destroying 30 aircraft and sinking 8 ships in the harbour. Among them, the USS Peary, with the loss of 88 American lives. It was the first of 64 air raids on Darwin, ending more than a year later in November 1943. Mr. Winspear's story is one that historians are trying to preserve as first-hand accounts of the attacks start to fade. Dr. Norman Cramp is the director of the Darwin Military Museum.
We can't afford to allow the social memory to fade away into nothing. If we do that, the risk is that history can repeat itself. Australians come here and know nothing about Darwin being bombed. We have international visitors that know even less about it.
For Darwin's traditional owners, the Larrakia people, the event meant the mourning of country. Richard Fijo spent his childhood seeing the scars of war peppered across Darwin, regularly finding shrapnel and empty bullet casings hidden along the shoreline.
We bled together, we died together, we fought together, but we did that as one. And that's why it's important to carry this over in reconciliation today. The bombing of Darwin is a part of the story. It's a part of the history. And so it becomes a part of our DNA. And it's a traumatic part of our DNA.
There are calls for February 19 to be made a national public holiday. Territory Chief Minister Michael Gunner says it's a reminder of the pain of war.
This event that we hold here every year is not simply recognition of what happened on February 19. Darwin stands as a reminder to all of the painful cost of war, wherever it plays out.
Preserving the memory of this tragic event for generations to come.